Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
We are like raging lunatics on the radio, and you've got this like NPR voice, like, but it's like this killer, like soft, but like, yes, radical progressives are absolutely mentally ill. And Mike and I are like, woo, 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 yeah, going crazy.
Artie, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glumwiggle Financial Guys. Glenn, taking today off, actually wrapping up duck hunting season. I know there's like a little window for that. I don't understand it, but I do get to eat some of the fruits of his labor, I guess you'd say.
Does he use a gun, or does he like just run real fast and wrestle him and give him a little bit of a headlock?
A gun, a boat. He's down in Florida. So he's down in our Florida office. For those of you going, what, he's hunting now? No, down in Florida, it's a little bit different season. So he hunts in an airboat, which is pretty cool.
Him, but one of many who... basically flee the People's Republic of New York for literally sunnier pastures in Florida.
20% of our top wage earners in the last 2 years. Pretty big number. So I don't know when the bankruptcy comes. By the way, Stefan Mihailo in studio with us today. And we got a bunch of guests, right, today?
That's right. I mean, I could not believe when I heard this transgender policy that's really hitting close to home for us.
Yeah.
It was passed. I mean, a lot of parents and educators were saying, in the dark of night, right at Christmas, to minimize any kind of public input.
Oh, of course.
But in Orchard Park, I'm shocked.
Yeah, this is not the city of Philadelphia, right? This is Orchard Park, suburb in Buffalo, New York.
Affluent suburb. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the reasons why a lot of people move to that suburb is because of the school district. I mean, my wife and I moved to Elma specifically for the schools. Other people do the same in Orchard Park. But they passed this transgender policy. The district will allow a transgender, or, and they call it a gender nonconforming student. Mm-hmm. They can use a locker room or bathroom with whatever they identify with.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Of course.
Sure.
Even class field trips.
Yeah.
If a student, and I'm just going to really stereotype here, some athlete or jogger, football player's got a girlfriend. Hey, I identify as a woman.
Sure.
I'm going to be able to sleep in my girlfriend's
room. Go out there.
What stops that, right? Nothing stops that.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing stops that.
So even,
that, and that's where the, well, that's, there's a lot of areas where that's where it ends. But, you know, okay, so you can't put that one kick that kid out of school because he went in the girls' bathroom. You can't do that. What's good for one is good for the other, right? So he identified as a girl that day, right? You can't tell him he didn't do that.
But it gets crazier, though. I mean, if you look at their policy, again, it was passed on December 13th that students are allowed to participate in intramural sports with their identity, phys ed.
We'll hear a good story on that, by the way. Ann has got a relative that was swimming, and she... I'll save the story for her, but that's ridiculous, by the way. That's when not only is it beyond stupid, somebody's going to get really hurt. Right. And I hope, by the way, I don't hope somebody gets hurt, but if they do, I hope they sue the school administrators. I hope they sue the school board. I hope they sue every single person that they can attach to that lawsuit and make their life a living hell, because they deserve it.
Speaking of administrators, right now we're going to hear from Dave Lilick. He is the school superintendent, basically in a very woke manner, praising these brave students for coming and talking about this transgender policy at their board meeting.
First, to our students, your courage, your leadership is incredibly commendable. Know that you are loved in Orchard Park. Part of my heart hurts that you felt like you had to be here.
His heart hurts that they had to be there. Absolutely insane.
Who's there, by the way? Who's there? All 0.01% of the population that wants to dress like a woman who has a penis and who wants to pee in the girls' bathroom. That's the 0.101. Is that who was there?
Well, and one of the people who can help us on that end is Lauren Fox. She's with Moms for Liberty, that group. She has three kids in the district. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you.
So, you know, Mike had a good question. Like, who was there at this board meeting before Christmas? You know, folks are out. It seems as though this was done with minimal input. What exactly happened at this school board meeting?
Well, referring to the meeting where the policy was passed?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I was not personally able to attend that one. they had put in the November meeting minutes that there would be a final reading of the policy, and it passed. It was just sort of one of the consensus items that was passed on the December meeting. And there really wasn't much discussion. I know that in December, there was a very low turnout as far as community members, parents speaking at the board meeting. November had been quite a big deal with lots of conversation on the books that are in the libraries. But it was really the gender policy. It's kind of, I think they wanted to make it so that people really didn't know about it. And that's, I think, a big part of our problem is that people have been kind of asleep at the wheel and didn't realize what was even coming down from the state and the districts, knowing that there might be some concerns, have tried to just quickly pass it along and act like it was complete law and there was nothing they could do about it.
Yeah, I learned a lot from Hochul and Cuomo, and you don't actually get the input of the voters or the people in the district. What you do is you put it through very quietly, maybe at midnight so nobody knows, and then all of a sudden it's there and it's hard to get away. You know, concerned parents, there's got to be. You can't be the only concerned parent, Lauren.
I mean, absolutely.
I'm in the Alma district. I've got one daughter in private school, one still in the Iroquois district. This happens in Iroquois, and I'm blowing a lid. I mean, I'm screaming so the people in the north towns can hear me. It just can't be you that's furious over this.
Oh, absolutely not. We actually had a group, a taxpayers association, that do not necessarily have any kids in the district that got wind of it and felt it was a community issue and started a petition that went around that was not associated with parent groups or Moms for Liberty or anything like that. It was a complete thing from just community taxpayers petitioning not to revoke the policy, but to pause it and allow public input and a kind of a question and answer thing. And that's what's really been lacking so much in Orchard Park, is that they're not having any sort of conversation, not allowing there to be a discussion.
That's been a pretty common theme around the country, is they have no interest in actually getting the real input on what parents think, right? If they did, the first thing they would do is say, okay, the parents who have children in this district, why don't we vote on it? What do they think, right? But they don't care about that. They just want their agenda pushed down people's throats. An agenda, again, that includes 0.002% of the population. These people are mentally ill. They're mentally ill. I mean, at this point, as young as some of these kids are, you're talking sixth graders, seventh graders, eighth graders, right? You know, leading them. If you have a drug addict, you don't say, I think it's a really good idea that we just give them lots more heroin. What you do is you say, you're mentally ill. Let's see if we can help you, right? Look, if somebody wants to, by the way, as they become an adult, address, you're a man, you want to dress like a woman, go for it. Dress up all you want. Just don't take your penis into the same bathroom as my daughter. That's the truth. That's the reality of it. You want to dress up. You want to play dress up. I'm not going to say some of you look like freaks and you're not going to get jobs. And you know what? Nobody's got the stones to say that, by the way. They want to dance around. You're going to have a hard time in life, right? You're going to have a hard time in life. You want to dress up, think that. You want to do you. You just don't do it next to my daughter. You have male parts. You don't do it next to my daughter.
And Lauren, as a parent, you've got three kids in the district. What are your thoughts as a concerned parent about the fact that some biological male student can identify as female and just go in a female locker room, in a girl's bathroom? As a parent, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's frightening. One of my children is a girl. I have a daughter, and she's an athlete, and I think about her in the future with competing in sports at the high school level. There's stories all around the country. There's been assaults in bathrooms in public schools. There was a girl in North Carolina who's suffering vision problems and long-term concussion problems because a biological boy slammed a volleyball in her face. So it's very concerning, and it is completely neglecting the rights, the privacy, the safety, the security of all of the other kids who might have a problem with it. And they're so quick to, anytime there's any resistance, label everyone as a political extremist and hateful, and make it all about not loving and accepting children who who might be having some problems.
That's right. Well, that's exactly it, by the way. They don't, you know, if they actually listened to their own garbage, they would get help for these people, right? You wouldn't just say, okay, you're 0.02% of the population, you have a penis, and I think it's a great idea that you should start showering and dressing and peeing in the same place that the women do. What you would do is take a step back and say, hey, look, can we help? You know, where are you in life? What kind of mental help can we help so, you know, we can get you, you know, back on track? And by the way, if you end up being an adult and you think you are a woman, okay, you start to transition over in that place. But again, you've got a penis. You should not be peeing in the same bathroom as the girls. That's it. Done.
Yeah, and I think of my daughter, her friends, like, are they going to be nervous every time they go into the bathroom?
Of course
wondering
they are.
If they're, you know, it's really such a disservice. And as you speak about the kids that might need some help, there's a group of students who have started an organization coming out of Orchard Park, and they rallied a group of kids to talk at the meeting, and they were talking about parents not accepting them and all of these other issues, and it has nothing to do with the gender policy. I don't know how a kid who is struggling and is feeling like they're not being accepted at home or anywhere else in their life is going to be helped by being allowed to use locker rooms and restrooms of the other biological sex or to compete in sports. Like, I don't know how that is helping these kids, and yet that's what this gender policy is really all about.
Hey, Lauren, this is Stefan. Now, Mike made a really good point about Orchard Park itself, that this isn't Philadelphia. This isn't some major city, some booming metropolis, you know, some woke area that's basically run by radical progressives. This is Orchard Park, New York. A fairly wealthier suburb, a fairly strong school district. A reason why many people move there is because of the schools. So, Lauren, are you just shocked that in Orchard Park, this is the big issue of letting biological boys and men go into bathrooms and compete in sports with girls?
I am shocked, and I am extremely disappointed that there's been no conversation. And I believe you had clips of the superintendent's speech at the end of our last board meeting. He's clearly taken sides and he's sowing division where there really shouldn't be any. Instead of helping the kids who are protesting and the parents who are encouraging them to do that against the petition that was formed by the Taxpayers Association, helping them understand that the language was not about excluding them or allowing them to be discriminated against, our superintendent instead takes a side. He insults the parents who are speaking out. He's telling us this is not the platform to come into the school board meetings and give out hypothetical situations.
That's exactly the platform, by the way. That's what a school board meeting is all about.
Exactly.
A public meeting. Right.
I think he wishes they could go back to the days where there was just a couple senior citizens and they're complaining about their taxes and they could just carry on without anybody knowing what was going on.
Yeah. Now, is this in place? My understanding is there was some court rulings just recently that, you know, may actually put some sanity to some of this stuff. But is this in place now in Orchard Park? Do you know, like, if I identify as a woman and I've got male parts, I can go pee in the women's bathroom today?
The policy is in place, and what we were asking for, what the people signing the petition were asking for, was a review of the policy so that we could understand what this all means, and they're not allowing that. They're not encouraging that in any way. We're pretty much being told, if you have a problem with this, you're transphobic, you're a hateful political extremist, sit down and shut up. So we don't know what's going to play out. Dave Lilick is apparently not willing to contemplate hypothetical situations, which makes me wonder why we have fire drills and lockdown drills and things like that.
Yeah.
So we don't know. I think they're going to wait till a tragedy happens,
sure,
and then they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
That's really where I'm left. I'm not sure because they haven't allowed a conversation.
And I know Mike was mentioning some recent court rulings. It was basically there was a petition going back to I believe it was a Title IX lawsuit that the argument was made that there's legal protections to let, you know, biological boys go into women's bathrooms, play women's sports. And I think that was struck down. So, but I think that concerned parents have to take that ruling and then take legal action in order to overturn this policy that is in place in Orchard Park. So, Lauren, what are the next steps for parents? I mean, we can all have a soapbox, we can all complain, we can all have petitions, we can, you know, make our voices very loud, but is there talk of legal action, or is there talk of, okay, what's the next step to fight this policy in Orchard Park, this trans policy?
I'm really not sure at this point what the policy is. I think we're kind of dumbstruck as far as what happened at the last board meeting, but we know that the community is waking up to this issue and they're saying enough. And it's not just parents. It's not just Moms for Liberty. It's community members who are looking and saying, we had no idea what was going on. We had no idea it had come this far. And they don't believe that the district is protecting all children. They're not doing that. They're failing the community. The district is failing the community by not ensuring the safeguards for all kids. Oh. I'm not sure the next steps. I know probably legal would be, but we're just not organized and aware of what we need to do next at this point.
I can't even believe we're having this conversation.
No, I can't either. I just can't either. There's you know what? You are a sick form of sick when you think it's a good idea for men to be walking into a female bathroom or a locker room just because they identify as such. You are a sick puppy. I'm sorry. You are mentally ill if you think this is a good idea. And for your point, Seven, to say, I can't believe we're talking about this. I can't believe there's enough oomph in any school board in a town like Orchard Park to say, yeah, let's go for this. This is great. This is a great idea.
Yeah.
I think, you know what? I think we should put the men in the pool with the women and let them compete. I think we should put them out. By the way, the volleyball accident, I predicted this. The minute this garbage started, I said a girl is going to get hurt with a volleyball. Mm-hmm. That'll be, and sure enough, a boy blasts a girl in the face with a volleyball, and now she's got permanent damage, right? This is going to continue. I mean, and it's sad to think anybody with a 16th of an eighth of common sense would say this is a good idea. It just, men and women are different. We tend to be stronger. We tend to be bigger, right? Maybe the women will say they're smarter.
100% true.
I would agree with that.
100% true. Well, ask my wife.
Women can think with both sides of your brain at once, right? So I always say, I say to my wife, look, it's not my fault that I didn't know how to dress myself. It's not my fault I didn't pull over for directions. God made my brain where the left side had to turn off before the right side would come on. So there's a ton of truth to all that stuff, right?
Yeah. And funny enough, we had on the same exact board meeting, they were presenting testing data and talking about the differences between males and females. They broke it down. They showed the demographics. They were talking about needing to encourage girls to be in STEM fields and girls for code who code programs. So they're presenting all of this, that there's clearly differences between males and females. And then 20 minutes later, we're having the gender policy discussion. Yeah. It was mind-blowing.
And let me say this. I've got two girls, so I keep mm-hmm. I keep putting it in the context of, well, the boy walks in the girl's locker room. What about this? Mm-hmm. What about the poor boy who's got to wrestle a girl? Okay, and I'm not saying wrestle a girl because the girl might not beat it, but how it's going to look if he gets beat by a girl. Forget that. If I have a son, I do not want him wrestling a girl. You know why? Because he might accidentally touch her inappropriately. That's what happens in wrestling, right? And when guys are wrestling, they don't care. They're just bam, 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 bam. So I now have to put my son in a very inappropriate, compromising position. Oh, by the way, these people will be the first to sue, by the way. Oh, I wrestled this person, and that boy touched my girl. They'll be the first lawsuits. But trust me, it'll be the first one saying he touched me inappropriately. But you know what? That puts a little boy, a young boy in such a shitty position. Such a shitty position. Like, how does he wrestle fair? Okay, I gotta make sure I'm not touching her breasts or her body parts, right? So it's ridiculous all the way around. If the argument was we want to have a separate transgender class, maybe that, okay? Maybe the separate transgender bathroom. But even that, I find it ridiculous that we're going to spend billions of dollars revamping all these bathrooms across the country for 0.001% of the population, right? They're not doing it. It won't be these people that chip in the money to say, oh, your business, it's already failing. Now you need a third bathroom. And by the way, if anybody's looked at pricing out what it costs to throw a third bathroom in a place, it's not $5. I can tell you that.
You just
right?
put one in.
Yeah. You're talking thousands and thousands of dollars if you have the space. Imagine you're a company like, okay, I don't have the space. I'm a small business. Ridiculous all the way around. Ridiculous. From A to Z, asinine.
Yeah, it is. And there already has been movement to make sure that there are all genders restrooms in the schools. I believe there has already been money earmarked for that, and that has been a requirement. I know that happened at my school. We now have former faculty restrooms that were male and female that are now labeled all gender.
Hey, Lauren, Stefan, one more time. So I want to talk about the Leah Thomas, you know, the Penn swimmer, biological male, mm-hmm. basically destroys swimming records in women's sports.
Not ranked at all in the men's. I think he was like 500 2,000 swimmers. Yeah.
But here, you know,
1,000 swimmers.
The three of us have daughters. All three of us have daughters. Yeah. And are you concerned as a mom that whether it's Leah Thomas or in Orchard Park, that basically biological boys and men will compete to the point and dominate women's sports, whereas daughters like ours are not even going to bother competing or even joining because they know that whether it's in the pool or on the field, they're going to get destroyed by a biological male.
Yeah, it just cheapens everything for them. Title IX was totally hijacked by this transgender ideology. It started off in the 70s to help make sure there were opportunities for women in sports. And I want to say, where are the feminists here? Because I believe that as far as the athletics goes, this is going to hurt girls' sports more than anything. It's going to cheapen it for them. It's going to make it impossible to compete, make them feel like second-class citizens. It's really damaging to female sports. And as an athlete myself, I couldn't imagine it. It would be impossible to compete against a male, even if he wasn't great against the other guys like Leah Thomas.
I just feel as though, like, here, this Financial Guys Media Network podcast, like, and we have mutual friends who reached out to me about this yesterday and says, hey, can you believe this is happening in Orchard Park? Until we are having this discussion on this podcast, I didn't even know.
No.
I had no idea.
No. The mainstream media is just going to continue to do what the school districts do and what Hochul does and Cuomo does, which is try to slowly push this through without anybody knowing about it, right? The farther this moves along, the harder it is to repeal, right? That's like, you know, government, right? Once it's thrown out there, it's really, really difficult to get it back and take it back.
So, Lauren, do you think this was done on purpose, basically having it the end of the public meeting just before Christmas when families are away, when school is out, and then, you know, passing it when there's minimal public input?
I would not be surprised at all if that was the case, because I believe the timing was totally up to the districts to choose that. So I wouldn't put it past. And, you know, I know we're bringing attention to Orchard Park, but I think because we have such a large group of parents that have woken up to what's going on and are speaking out and sharing the information with others, I believe this is happening in other districts, and it's just the people don't know. They don't know what's going on.
Yeah, they do now.
Yeah, Lauren. Hey, look, you have Lauren's info, right?
I sure do.
I'm going to reach out to you. We'll see how we can help. And maybe as a group, you know, we were a big part of helping Robbie De Niro. I mean, Robbie was Robbie, so I'm not taking anything away from Robbie. I'm not, trust me, not taking any credit, but we were a little part of helping him in his fight with his lawsuit and all that stuff. And I think it's time for a bunch of us parents to start somewhere. And if it's Orchard Park, we start at Orchard Park. But we need to put a lawsuit together to start to fight some of this garbage.
Amen to that.
Yeah, we'd be totally interested in any guidance because we're at a loss.
Yeah. Perfect. Lauren.
And keep fighting the good fight, Lauren. We greatly appreciate you coming on the Financial Guys Media Network podcast. And
we'd love to get you on the radio, too.
And if you're around this Saturday, we're live for 2 hours if you happen to have 10 minutes to spare with us. But we greatly appreciate the consideration and keep fighting the good fight. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Lauren, thanks. We're going to take a real, real fast break here. Mike Loma, Stefan Mihailu, and for Glenn Wiggle. By the way, don't forget about our departments, whether it's Social Security Planning, Home and Auto. We have over 25 companies to help shop to save you money. Give us 14 minutes. And, of course, money management. You know, we're bread and butter. We started this firm as it wasn't a one-stop financial shop. It was one stop, just one shop. It was just the financial guys. And we've been fortunate enough and very blessed to be able to build a big organization with different departments, Social Security Planning, college planning, estate planning, helping you protect your money and pass it on to the next generation. But financial planning, we have registered investment advisors, certified financial planners, chartered financial analysts. Our bench is very deep. So use our team as a resource, and don't forget about thefinancialguys.com, financialguysmedia.com for all of the content, whether it's Stefan and Mike and Mike and Mike. We've got a whole lineup of podcasts throughout the week, so don't miss out on it. Real quick break. We got another special guest lined up. We'll be back. Alrighty, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guys. Special guest Stefan Mihailu. Ann Horan, who's becoming an old hat in this. That, you know, it's funny. You were like production person, and now you're just taking over.
Star of the show.
By the way, don't, you know. That's, we might slowly, before you know, we won't have to do Saturdays anymore. Ann will take over.
Yeah, we are like raging lunatics on the radio, and you've got this like NPR voice, like, but it's like this killer, like soft, but like, yes, radical progressives are absolutely mentally ill. And Mike and I are like, whoop, 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 yeah. Going crazy.
It is a mental illness, by the way, folks. The left have gone crazy. You know, Stefan, 20-something years ago when we started radio, we used to have Democrats on all the time, share the story all the time. You know what they would argue about? Wages. Wages. We all agreed on certain things, like support the police, wide open borders, not a good idea, drugs just pouring over your border, not a good idea. Somewhere along the way, they just became crazy. Crazy. And you know, and now they won't come on the show anymore and debate and talk it through, right? But we used to be able, the number one thing was wages. We talk about unions deserve better working conditions, wages. We'd argue about it. Hey, they can only afford so much. And then we go out for a beer after. And now I don't want anything to do with these people. Anybody who says, I think it's a good idea, Mike, for your daughter to shower in a sixth grader to be able in the same bathroom or locker room as a man, I don't want anything to do with those people. They're disgusting animals.
It's so crazy because this is the thing. You talk about wages inequality and wages. Title IX, Lauren was talking about Title IX. The reason why I came about is because you wanted to have equality for opportunity for women's sports. So I played basketball at UB. We lost our baseball team, and we also lost our soccer team, our men's soccer team and our men's baseball team, to make sure that there were enough scholarships for the women. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now let's just think about this. So now you're going to have these boys competing as girls. How are they going to decipher if they're going to get a men's scholarship or a women's scholarship in college?
Right.
This is going to turn into this huge money thing because men are going to be superior. And if they can play on the women's basketball team, now we're going to have two men's basketball teams because one's going to be the women's team, but it's going to be all biological men because guess what? Now it's a free college education.
Right.
It's a big deal.
Right.
Like you have a kid that is good at something but not good enough to be a guy at Division I. But good enough to be a girl at Division I?
Right.
Who's getting those scholarships?
So Shaquille O'Neal went to LSU. Can you imagine him on the women's team?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine?
No. In fact, it's funny. When in high school, I'll never forget this, my two buddies, and we had a good group of men and women all hung around together, but there was two girls on the girls' basketball team, varsity basketball team, and they were one of them was a star, second one was pretty good, right? And we're all out hanging out, and they were talking to my two other buddies, and they said, oh, we could beat you in basketball. No, you couldn't. So they played 2-on-2, and the men won, right? And now these two guys could not even come close to the men's team. Not even close, right? It's just we're physically different, right?
Okay, now hold on a second, because I do have to say that my sister-in-law beat my two brothers in basketball in 2-on-2. So
I'm sure there is.
But that was different. She was a college athlete as well. So my brothers played hockey just because it was a party.
Absolutely going to be all kinds of situations like that. But the reality is that in the long run, people are going to get hurt. When you start to put the best athletes together, to Stefan's point about Shaquille O'Neal, right? I mean, the men are doing reverse dunks at UB right now, and the women are not. You know, it's just physically different. Doesn't mean they're not great. I love watching women's sports, and I you know, it's funny. If you would have told me I was watching women's softball, like, you're crazy. But my nieces got into softball. I followed them up from being young, little, to now one of them's playing in college. I love watching them play, right? But it's a different game.
It's totally a different game. I mean, my sister shared a story with us saying that right after Christmas, her daughter is a huge swimmer, and she's been taking time off of, and I don't really know swimming, and she's like a PR and, you know, gives these numbers, and I don't, it's not really relevant necessarily to me. But she says every time she texts, oh my gosh, Lauren or Caitlin, you know, cut down on this time. And so there was this this last meet where a biological boy competed in Caitlin's swimming meet, and she lost. And then that same biological boy competed in the boys' event and won. In the same meet. She showed me a picture of it on her phone. She's like, this is the boy in the boys' division, and this is the boy in the girls' division. In their school, in Maniqua or something in Chicago, they live in Naperville. Unbelievable, this boy. And so she's just like, the girl.
Devastated. She's going to lose scholarships.
She went to Iowa to go look there to go see if she could swim. She's like, I'm not swimming in college because this is going to happen everywhere.
That's
heartbreak. We work so hard. She's in the gym. I mean, in the gym. I say the gym. But she's in the pool 5 o'clock in the morning. She's not going to do it anymore.
That's heartbreaking.
Because you know that some biological male is going to come around and just crush you.
Leah Thomas is going to come and beat her, and she's not interested.
It's just going to be a different version of Leah Thomas.
It's the mentally ill running the show at that point, and it's disgusting. There's nothing that anybody can convince me otherwise to say those people are not mentally ill. I will say what's frustrating is the amount of parents and people that just sit around and let this happen.
Because they don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Yeah, they want to seem like they're politically correct.
That's right.
No, feelings need to be hurt. That's it. I mean, I'm done with this. Like, everybody, you need a shoulder to cry on. I'm not here to let you, go there on my shoulder. You need to, if it's poor behavior, you need to fix it. Like, this is poor behavior.
Yeah.
And, you know, you make a good point, Ann. I never thought of the fact that boys can basically be more selective. Biological boys and men when it comes to picking a college. Oh, who's got a weak women's swim team or a weak women's basketball team?
Right.
I'm going there to take their scholarships. Yep. And what's the college going to do?
I was just thinking about it when I was listening to you guys. I was like, oh my gosh, seriously, this is going to start happening. And I hope I'm not tipping someone's hand right here and giving them the idea. But
no. I mean they're already doing it. It's not like we're reinventing anything. It's amazing, though, to the point that we're talking about this. That it just blows my mind that we're at the point in society in America to say this is a really good idea for the men to dress up like women and take their scholarships, takes everything they've earned away, and destroy. Basically, you're going to destroy women's sports. You're going to have a men's team and a men's dressed up like women's JV team.
So you're talking about getting dressed up. So these furries, have you heard of the furries?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
what?
So in Orchard Park.
This is a thing.
So my daughter is in the middle school at Orchard Park, so this is fairly near and dear to my heart with this topic. There's furries that go to school, and they have litter boxes and all this in the back. It's the most ridiculous thing. So a parent went to a board meeting to go against this and dressed up as a cat. And the parents were like, this is ridiculous. They're like, we're just trying to explain to you how ridiculous our children are being exposed to this concept. Because if you don't want me as a grown-up dressed as a cat,
right.
Then why should there be teenagers dressed up?
It's the educational system. You're supposed to be making them into productive members of society as we start to move them from being younger kids to adults.
My daughter says that
you don't dress up as a furry in the eighth grade. That's not the deal. You're there to learn.
No, it's the craziest thing.
Yeah, you're not there to pee in a litter box. This is the bathroom. Use it.
But we're also wondering why, China, India, even third world countries are basically catching up the United States in education. Because these are the issues that educators and these woke school boards are focused on.
That's right.
Not reading, writing, arithmetic.
Balancing a checkbook.
Right. A basic education. Look at financial literacy.
Yeah.
How many students leave high school and they can't balance a checkbook? They don't even have a checking account.
Have no idea
about taxes.
What interest rates and debt will do to them, right? Mm-hmm. I.e. why they say, oh, it's a good idea to get a philosophy degree for $75,000 a year, even though my limit is probably earning $19,000 a year, right? They have no idea, right? And of course, then we encourage them. Oh, hey, that's a great school. They got a wonderful basketball program there. Hey, now there's two teams you could join.
And study gender
that's
studies
right.
or something.
Right. Yeah. No, there's two times you could qualify for that team now. Yeah, unreal. Well, thank you for sharing your story. I appreciate it. We're going to take one more quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about maybe Kathy Hochul, some of the COVID garbage that's still going on. That's hard to believe, too, right? We're going on 3 years of this. Remember 2 weeks to flatten the curve? We're on 3 weeks or three years of garbage. And they just don't stop.
You know, and it won't.
They just don't stop. I had a client the other day who's got to have a minor surgery, right? And she was telling us that she had to go in and get a COVID test, and they said, well, the new COVID variant, you don't know you have it.
Oh, good Lord.
You don't know you have it. But we still got to test you. Oh, by the way, if you have your four boosters, you can go in and get it anyway. Even if you have COVID, you can still go in and get your surgery. But if you don't have your four boosters, even though you don't have this, right? Imagine that. Imagine how, again, I can't say the word mental illness enough. Can you imagine how screwed up we are as a society to say, we think you've got this cold. It's so crazy you can't go in and get a surgery, but you'll never know you have it.
It's like Snuffleupagus.
Oh my God!
Just doesn't exist. Right. No one's seen it
it's
before.
Like you know, I've got a
like Bigfoot. Bigfoot.
I've got a freckle on my shoulder. I should destroy the rest of my life and never go out anywhere because nobody will see this freckle on my shoulder. It's an absolute joke. All right, we're gonna take one more quick break. We'll be back. Mike Lomas, Stefan Mihailu, and for Glenn Wiggle. If you need us throughout the week, folks, we do manage money for a living. Whether it comes to you and your retirement plans, your IRA, your 401k plans. Don't forget about our home and auto division. We can shop over 25 companies to save you money. It's so easy. A liberal could do it. And Medicare, if you're turning 65, think of the financial guys. We can help. And independent, AHIP certified reps. So we'll be right back here. And don't forget about thefinancialguys.com for all of our media content. And what is it? Thefinancialguysmedia.com. I'm running out of
Financialguysmedia.com.
Financialguysmedia.com.
And then thefinancialguys.com for the. It's too much, I know.
Yeah, it's too much.
The whole women are smarter thing.
Google Financial Guys, you'll find
yeah,
us.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, we'll be right back. Where do we go from here? Maybe let's a little bit of Hochul, huh? A little bit of she's a real peach, by the way. The clip we're going to play, it's just unbelievable. We're 3 years into this COVID garbage, and they're still drinking the Kool-Aid, man. It's unreal. People, by the way, I'm convinced that it's harder, it's easier to trick people than untrick people. Like the Democrats will trick you, and then the people do not want to admit that they were wrong. They just do not want to admit they were wrong. They'll take 75 shots in their arm before they say, ah, this isn't working out right. They'll just keep rolling. And they've done it with everything, right? The school districts are a mess. You know what the answer is? More money. So we put more money into it. Then it's even more of a mess. You know what the answer is? More money. It keeps going on and on and on. Gun control. You know what we need to do for less violence in the streets of Chicago? We need to be more restrictive. So we're going to take away certain guns, and then we're going to take away all the guns, and then we're going to take away bullets, and stuff gets worse and worse and worse, and they can never go, I guess we were wrong. Sorry about that.
Well, thankfully, there's checks and balances, even in New York State. New York State Supreme Court deemed that the COVID vaccine mandate for healthcare workers is null and void. And you and I were sharing this clip about Kathy Hochul basically doubling down and saying, well, you know, even though the court ruled this or ruled against us, she still thinks the answer is forcing healthcare workers to get the jab.
It's a problem, but I don't think the answer is to have someone who comes in who's sick be exposed to someone who can give them.
Can you pause that for 1 second? So I want you to think about this. 90% of the people that are dying from COVID and getting COVID are the ones that are vaccinated, unvaccinated.
They have the jab.
Right. That's right. They've had the jab. 90% of the people. So if she's right, then the vaccinated people should be the ones that are not working.
Right. Get out of the hospital.
If she's really being honest with you, she should say, well, look, we don't want sick people coming into the hospitals working. It's not fair. So those of you that got the fourth jab, you're the least likely to be in. We want you the least in these hospitals. Three jabs, a little more. Two jabs, one. So, and then the unvaccinated, we want you because you are the least likely to have COVID and die from COVID at this point.
But she's not listening to logic at all, and is doubling down. Let's keep listening.
Give them COVID-19. I don't know that that's the right answer. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not. So we're exploring our options. But I think everybody who goes into a healthcare facility or a nursing home should have the assurance, and their family members should know, that we have taken all steps to protect the public health, and that includes making sure those who come in contact with them at their time of most vulnerability, when they are sick or elderly, will not pass on the virus. We lost 34.
Did she seriously say nursing home? She seriously said nursing home.
That gets to our next clip. Hold tight. Believe me.
Like, because that's the only thing that, I mean, the only people that should not have been exposed to COVID probably, really, in the beginning were the people dying in a nursing home,
that's,
right?
That's such a great point you make because, remember, it was governors like Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan. Kathy Hochul was lieutenant governor when Andrew Cuomo sent seniors stricken with COVID back into nursing homes around other than healthy seniors and killed them. But listen to the irony of Kathy Hochul's soundbite pertaining to that general issue.
I cannot put people into harm's way because when you go into a health care facility, you expect that you're not going to come out sicker than you went in. I think that's something every New Yorker would expect.
But wait a minute.
That's exactly what you did.
That's exactly what you did by sending seniors stricken with COVID back into nursing homes. You killed grandma.
The only people that should have been, you know, at a little higher level of protection, really, were those people, right? They, you know, had all kinds of pre-existing conditions, blah, blah. Instead, we're sending the children home that have a 0% chance of really even knowing they have COVID. Really. I mean, you couldn't even imagine. You couldn't find kids outside of stuffy noses. And, you know, I mean, when we were kids, like, oh, you got boogers coming down from your nose? Yeah. Okay. You're going to school, right? And that's how immune systems were built, by the way. We're going to find out. I still see people riding around in their car by themselves with face diapers. These people are going to be dead so much earlier than their life expectancy. I mean, that is not how you build a healthy immune system. If you want a sick child, or bubble wrap that child. Dr. Erickson said it on this podcast and the radio show 2 years ago. Kids touch stuff. Then they put their hands in their mouth. That's how they build a healthy immune system.
I do that.
If you're going to bubble wrap a child, if you're going to bubble wrap an adult, good luck with that. Good luck with building a healthy immune system.
And these were the same people that said you and I were going to kill grandma by having them over for Thanksgiving dinner.
That's right.
Yeah. We were the ones who were the bad guys. I mean, even the Buffalo News basically said that me was responsible for killing seniors because I was pushing very sound policies that was not very popular. But when it comes to just using common sense, protecting people from COVID.
Yeah. Well, they're and then again, people do not want to be tricked, right? So all these numbers, all this data is out there now. We know we were right, 100% right. You know, you can look at areas like Florida, by the way, that opened up early, 20% older population, more congested. Oh, they say, well, the city's garbage. Guess what people do when they're old? They move to Florida and places like the Villages, and they all live together. And guess what? They had better COVID numbers than New York State that bubble wrapped everybody and face diapered people 17 times over and closed everything and destroyed businesses.
Well, you know, and speaking of Kathy Hochul, a huge, huge, huge controversy, not only in New York State. She's taking heat from radical progressives because, you know, when it comes to, like, basically treating people like Antifa or these thugs and scumbags that commit crimes of having a revolving door around no bail, there's a huge Antifa riots in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's the best, isn't it? Unreal.
I mean,
unreal.
Literally.
Not one pair of work boots stolen again. This is remarkable. I'll tell you what, I'm pretty impressed with the track record of these Antifa folks. So they smash windows, they destroy businesses, and every single time the work boots are still there.
Well, you know, and this, you know, scumbag basically shot at cops. Police used lethal force and Antifa went crazy, burning down buildings, police cars. But here's the craziness. Five of the six arrested. Are you shocked at this? They were not from Atlanta. Mm. They were from Tennessee, Washington, Michigan, Maine. And, of course, two of the six are already out on bail.
Oh, of course. Of course. And I would bet at least four out of five have already have a rap sheet, right?
Right.
And I would bet five out of five were probably paid by somebody.
Well, I'm loving Marjorie Taylor Greene because she was on Tucker Carlson the other night talking about Antifa, you know, what scumbags they are. And she basically called them out for what they are and held the Democratic Party accountable for basically hiding and protecting Antifa.
Just from 2020, they're responsible for nearly $2 billion in damage and many people dead. But the war is against the police, and the reason why is because Antifa is the ground troops of the Democrat Party. Not only are they the ground troops, they breed them, they raise them, and then they bail them out of jail when they get arrested. But they never get prosecuted. And that's because, well, we know the truth. It's the Democrats in control, and it's the establishment, and it's the unelected bureaucrats that make no apologies for their support of Antifa.
Yeah, as they continue to destroy the Democrat cities. As they continue to destroy the Democrat
That's
cities.
That's the irony.
That's really the irony of it. You can't make this stuff up, folks. Like, we're so mad at the Republicans, and we'll just destroy our own neighborhoods that we live in. Now, probably, I would bet, many of them actually don't live in those neighborhoods. These are suburban kids that are you know, that mommy and daddy, you know, set up a nice cushy basement for them to live in until they're 36. You know, then they, you know, then they run in a Michigan election. But that's a shame. It's yeah. really a shame that they're destroying these cities that they live in. And it happened here, Buffalo, New York, right? When we, you know, knock on wood, we were very fortunate. We didn't see what Rochester saw. But when they did start to loot and riot, they rioted the east side of Buffalo. They rioted Elmwood, right? They didn't go out to Alma.
They know better to come to our town.
They didn't go to Alden. Why? Well, because those people believe in Second Amendments and protecting their own properties, right? And they will. They'll defend it. Where in Elmwood, they're like, oh, we love each other. Everything's great. Now, it's funny. The Elmwood Village can't figure out why they've got an increase in crime. They're appalled. Like, this is disgusting. We have an increase. Right. You're the idiots voting for no bail. It's the same people robbing your house time and time again. It's the same exact people robbing your car time and time again.
Defund the police, have no bail, and wow, it's shocking. Crime increases. But don't you think, though, like, especially with Antifa, again, 5 of the 6 people arrested in Atlanta were not from Georgia.
Yeah.
Tennessee, Washington, Michigan, Maine. Don't you think, like, George Soros and all these other Democratic firms are basically bussing people in and
no
saying,
doubt.
Go cause trouble?
No doubt. Remember the last go-around where, miraculously, pallets of bricks would show up from nowhere. Like, where did the bricks go? These people, they didn't bring them. They don't have the strength and the. They're certainly they don't own construction equipment that they're going to bring these pallets of bricks in. Right, where did they come from?
And then I want to end our podcast because I could not believe this. Like, this is the show of, like, basically you can't make this up. Whether it's transgender bathrooms in sports in Orchard Park or Antifa or Kathy Hochul and COVID. In California, they're actually trying to pass, you know, basically the wealth tax. They're trying to pass a law that says even after you leave California.
Yeah, if you made your money there.
They are still going to tax you after you left.
Get ready for that in New York, right? I mean, again, everything that they do in California, we say, hold our beer. We can mess it up better. At what point do these states go bankrupt? You know, California still has a surplus of money out there, so they've got a little bit of time. New York does not. New York does not. We cannot. I mean, we are on a very fast path to insolvency, because how you cannot have your top wage earners continue to move to a state like Florida where there is no state tax and yet increase your spending every single year and think that that's going to end up not in a total disaster, right? And to me, some of that can't happen fast enough. I know that sounds crazy, but I think you actually have to bring this place to the point where it is almost bankrupt, and the shareholders of the holders of some of these bonds say, you know what, we're not going to, you know what, the federal government may shore it up, but we're not going to give you any more money unless you can prove that you have a different business model that is going to pay us back. That's all they do Monday through Friday. They never think of ways to promote businesses and help businesses and grow business and jobs. And it's never about jobs and people going to work. It's always about this loser mentality of welfare, welfare, welfare. How do we abuse the people that are trying to be productive? Welfare, welfare, welfare. How do we abuse the people? Yeah, and you know, again, well, you're going to put a tax on the tax in California is what, 13% now. And now you're going to add a wealth tax. They proposed last year a tax where if you sold your house within 3 years, you know, one of the shelters in California was, well, if I did make a little money in my house, i.e., why property values are so high, I can at least keep that.
Nope.
Not anymore.
25% tax on that.
Not anymore.
25%. And they're also going to pass what's called CaliCare. Mm-hmm. It's like basically Bernie Sanders' single-payer health care. So at some point in time, the bill's going to become due.
Oh, yeah. No, it's already a disaster. They have destroyed. It makes me actually sort of physically sick to my stomach to think of a beautiful state like California that is now Democrat-controlled and a shithole. You think about that, right? Like San Francisco, where they're actually crapping in the streets and doing heroin in the streets, and Los Angeles, right?
That's on a good day.
I mean, Los Angeles, 50, 60 years ago, wasn't a shithole. It wasn't, right? People went to work. They paid their bills, right? I spent some time in San Diego. It's moving that way. San Diego is an absolutely beautiful place. Beautiful. The beaches are absolutely breathtaking. And then you step out your hotel, and somebody's crapping in the middle of the street, and the next guy's doing heroin, and the next guy's trying to to get something out of a bottle. I don't know. It's everywhere. The filth is everywhere, and this is only going to continue to make it worse and worse and worse and worse.
And you mentioned Democrats in California, Assemblyman Alex Lee. He's like this wiry, left-wing, radical progressive. He's the one that keeps pushing this wealth tax and single payer. And you just got to listen to this very short clip where in the past he was talking about basically despising capitalism, loving socialism, and it's very clear he hates big oil.
This is the reality of climate change. And I know the fossil fuel corporations want to party till the end of the world, squeeze every single last drop of profit till they can. But think of your children, of my children yet to be even perceived, of what world they could live in.
As he's wearing, by the way, a $2,000 suit that was produced by oil.
Right.
You can't make
that's
this stuff
the mentality
up.
We're dealing with here.
Yeah. Hey, let me let you in a little secret. No business works to try to lose money. They don't last, right? They never do. So anybody out there who wants to start an oil company to lose money, you go for it. You liberals should get together. You should start your own peace-loving company and produce anything you want for free and give it away and see how long you last. You won't.
Well, they do that right now, but it's called the government.
Yeah, well, that's exactly
right. Literally. And they just keep printing money. And I have that same philosophy. It's like, you know what? You want to have biological boys go in bathrooms or compete in women's sports, or you want to start your own woke, radical, progressive company. You know what? Go buy a plot of land in Wyoming, start a hippie commune.
Absolutely.
God bless America. Go do your thing.
Absolutely.
Leave me out of it.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Right. You can hire whoever you want, right? You should start a whole company that you do that with, and God bless you. That's exactly right. You want to have three bathrooms? You build one. Build it yourself. Build a whole building.
Pay for it.
Have eight bathrooms in it. You do it, and not me. Not me.
But how can you...
They realize, to your point, though, that government, you know, the old school days of government was, I'm going to run, and I'm gonna go on my local town board, I'm going to go on my local school board, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it for 2 years, and then I'm going to go back to what I do. It wasn't meant to be, okay, I'm going to earn millions and millions of dollars, and I'm going to stay here forever, Nancy Pelosi, Bill Clinton, President Biden, right?
Hunter's wealth has certainly gone up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, right? Their lifestyles have gotten better. By the way, Donald Trump's lifestyle has gotten worse. So that's not an endorsement for Trump. But, you know, Trump didn't run for the money. The Bidens did. Trump didn't run for the money. The Clintons did. Trump didn't run for the money. The Obamas did. And for those of you that say, oh, no, they didn't. Bullshit. They have not given one penny back. You know what's amazing? You look at even their tax returns. We made $2 million last year and gave $1,500 to charity.
I make way less and give more than
really?
That.
Like, that's all you can muster up? Gosh,
right. But that's, you know, our founding fathers basically wanted citizen legislators. You work on the farm, you're in agriculture,
that's
whatever it is you're doing back, and then you serve your country and you go home.
That's right.
Yeah. But it's now this, like, literally this professional industry of politicians who've never worked in the private sector a day in their lives.
Yeah.
Like this young kid, this Alex Lee, probably never worked a day in the private sector his entire life, but yet he's going to dictate how policies are basically going to crush families, income earners, companies. And this kid, he's literally a kid, has no idea the dire fiscal consequences of the fiscal cliff he's driving California over right now.
Yeah. All right, well, that will wrap it up. Mike Lomas, Stefan Mihailu. Stefan, you're be on the show Saturday, right?
Saturday for the radio show, yeah.
Who's on with you?
I believe Sparaza.
Sparaza, okay. Oh, good. Sparaza's back. All right, cool. So Sparaza took a little bit of time off. Family, building a family. Congratulations.
Slacker,
by the way,
has a baby, doesn't come to work.
Sparaza family for having the first little Sparaza. So beautiful little girl. So, but if you need us throughout the week, folks, financialguysmedia.com for all of our podcast information. 833-FINGUY. If you just like to set up a complimentary consultation, don't forget we're a one-stop financial shop. So when it comes to your home and auto, give us 14 minutes. Let us shop over 25 companies. Medicare, if turning 65, think of the financial guys. And Social Security experts, if you're going to retire, you got to think about Social Security and optimizing that. So Mike Hayflick and his team. College planning, Mike Shaver. If you need help, you've got a junior or a senior in high school and you need help with college planning, we've got you covered. And, of course, money management. So use our team as a resource, thefinancialguys.com, and we'll see you next week.